it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
7:04 on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are The Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Breaking down the good, the bad, and the ugly from Monday's game against the Bills. But before you get to work, here's what's been going on. Dodgers won the NLCS Game 2 against the Milwaukee Brewers, 5-1. Dodgers lead the series 2-0. Game 3 is tomorrow. Blue Jays and Mariners meet tonight for Game 3 of the ALCS, with the Mariners leading the series 2-0. And friend of the show and Atlanta United's Brad Guzan has announced his retirement. And it's great to relive Monday's game. We've had time to enjoy the win. 24-14 over the Bills. Can't say it enough. But just like what's going to happen at Flowery Branch, Mike and Bo have taken it upon themselves to watch the film, see where improvements can be made. So we've got the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I'm very proud of myself for putting out a tweet from us with Clint Eastwood as the meme.
Nice work.
One of my favorite movies.
Nice work.
I did Google. I was like, is this the right one?
Bravo. Yes, you're like, I haven't seen it, but this sounds like the right one.
I typed in the good, the bad, and the ugly, and he popped up and was like, all right, he's
going
up today.
Yeah, I love it, man. Love it.
If you have differing opinions on the good, the bad, and the ugly, please tweet us at 929 Morning Shift on that tweet. We'll bring it to air. Well, let's go ahead and start with the good. Who wants to start with their good from Monday night's game?
I'll go first. And you know, last time we had a big win, I was like, I don't want to do good, bad, and ugly. I want to do good, great, and bad. You know what I mean? It was like, let's take a step forward. Let's do good, bad, and the ugly. Just like you said, like they're probably going to do in Flowery Branch. They're always going to be hard on themselves, and they're always going to look at it. I've got good being defensive aggression. The aggression up front. We talked about it. Josh Allen hasn't been blitzed that much or pressured that much in years. It's the most pressure he's seen all season. I think the blitz rate was 56%, if I'm not mistaken.
It was 56%, but they blitzed on 12 of his 17 dropbacks in the second half.
There you
he
go.
He had pressure in his face. He was pressured.
So I love it.
That's in, and I thought that was seven. That number is 71% the second half alone, 56% for the game.
Right. I just love the fact that we were throttled down, and we kind of. I think it goes back to last week, guys. We tossed around. Okay, how you defend Josh Allen? We had multiple conversations with Dave Archer. He's like, can't do it the same way every time. It's got to be, you know, back off, come, you know, rush three. You got to be able to get him in third and long situations. But I thought Jeff Olbrich just saying, hey, we're not backing down from anybody. We'll utilize. I mean, they blitzed every single player on defense, I think, had a blitz at some point. Even A.J. Terrell blitzed off the edge at some point. They brought the house and twisting everybody and getting in his face.
A.J.'s the guy that flushed him, Mike, on that third down around midfield that Jaylen Walker closed in on, and he floats it over. It's incomplete. We did talk about it, Allie, and Mike was even like, you know, I think I would just drop back and try to make him beat you with his mind and his arm and play safe. And Olbrich, we got to give a lot of credit to Olbrich, because Olbrich said basically, based on the game plan, we're not changing. In fact, we're going to be more aggressive than we actually already are. And I think they want to be uber aggressive anyways. I was listening to somebody talk about this. It wasn't a podcast. It was like NFL radio show. And I forget the guy's name, but he works for CBS. And he was talking about, man, you know, that these defenses, the Dan Quinn, Pete Carroll, which is what, you know, Raheem and Olbrich system is kind of from, is that let's play cover three. And, you know, we're going to blitz four and get pressure. He's like, it is involved. And it's evolved to the point where they're no longer like, we're just going to sit back and play cover three. It's like, no, we're going to come at you, and we're going to be aggressive. My good would be the secondary. And when you talk about sending that many pressures, what are you talking about, Mike? Well, if I tell you I'm blitzing on 56% of the plays and 71% when the game's on the line, if you're a DB, what do you think? Like, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
You got to be on an island for a long time.
I didn't even tell him to say that, and he said it. Yeah, it's I'm on an island, and I got no help. And they did pretty freaking good to be on an island and have no help against one of the best players in football, point blank. And they've got some play. And I downplayed some of their skill players, but Shakir is like the ultimate yak guy, right? Like leads the league in yak. Keon Coleman is a bigger bodied guy. The problem is when you do that, you're going to get a little handsy. They got called a couple of times. One drive in particular for being handsy. But I thought the secondary, including my guy, he's now my guy, D. Alford, did really well.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
All right, let's move on to, unfortunately, we do have to talk about the bad.
Yeah, I struggle with this because you want to find something that's in the middle, right? It's like when you go good and ugly, like bad. Here's what I would say for bad, and this is that feeling, that old-fashioned feeling I think a lot of Falcons fans had, the second half start, right? I hated the way we come out of half. It seems to happen every game. Where they've made like these adjustments offensively, they come out and run it right down your throat, and they're able to put 7 points up on the board, and then we stumble offensively. And it seems to be a theme where it's like, oh, man, I don't know how we're going to come out of the locker room, if we're going to come out flat. But the second half start for this team was ugly. I mean, they were ripping off huge games, James Cook on the ground, and we could not seem to answer their tempo, albeit, you know, getting Michael Jarrell settled in and trying to do some different things. But I hated the tempo and the aggression we had coming out of halftime, and it's just – I feel like it's a theme for this team.
See, that was my bad, was the run defense in the second half. I think that they did you a favor because what they did was they used a lot of time, that opening drive, because of what they had to do, and then you were able to kind of stalemate them a little bit, and then basically they got away from the run game because they got away from James Cook because time kind of became an issue, and then you – because you were able to – you know, create some three and outs. I just thought that your run defense in the third quarter was bad. You got gashed. I mean, it was like 7 yards down the field every time. There was nothing you were doing on that drive that put them on their heels.
Yeah, and I think when you look deeper into it, Jeff Ulbrich deserves a little bit of credit as well, because you and I have broken this down until we're blue in the face, is that we don't have guys that just stand up to double teams. And they come out and run duo. Guys, we've talked about duo on this show a bunch. It is built on just straight-up double teams, and you're going to try to move guys off the ball. Well, Ulbrich, in response to that, later on in the third quarter and in the fourth, he started moving guys left and right. He was like, you're not going to double-team us. We are simply going to slant. We're going to stunt. We're going to, you know, ask linebackers to come up and fill the hole, and that's the adjustment they made. And that's why Buffalo got away from the run game. It's like, dude, and I think we were on the pregame show. I was talking about Osiris Torrance, the right guard. I'm like, he's a little bit of a cruise ship. You know what I mean? You don't ever want to be in front of him when he's moving full speed, but if you ask him to turn, you're probably going to be in a good situation. Yeah. And that's exactly what Jeff Ulbrich decided to utilize in the fourth quarter.
They have a couple of cruise ships.
Yeah, they did.
Up front. Yeah, it comes to, yeah.
Unfortunately, this phrase goes, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So we're moving on to the ugly at this point. Was there really anything that was ugly?
Yeah. Yes, for me. I'm curious what his is, because I'm scared it's going to be the same thing.
I want to hear
what yours is. No, I don't want to take – I know – I don't want to take yours, and I know that it's the same. I just know it is. It's got to be.
It might be, but mine is throws across the middle.
Okay, no, we're different. Good. Okay,
mine are throws across the middle of the offense. It's bad. It's ugly. One would say, Allie. Okay. I started looking at it, and I went to the NFL Next Gen Stats page. Here's what you've got. On throws to the left side of the field, you are 9 of 10. Huge gains over the left side of the field. On throws to the right side of the field, you are 9 of 12. So you're starting to get to a point where it's like, okay, left, right, very good. You go to the middle, throws beyond the line of scrimmage down the middle of the field. We were just 1 of 5. It's like we didn't even attempt. And the 1 of 5 included at least one pick six and probably 2 interceptions. Like, it was awful going to the middle of the field. There was one to Casey Washington that was forced. There was one to Bijan, I believe, that was forced. A couple to Drake London across the middle of the field. For whatever reason, it wasn't there, and we kept trying to force it in.
Yeah.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks. Some of it had to do with how they were playing. playing you.
Yes.
I think some of it had to do with that Drake played really a lot of slot, primarily slot, I think, in this game, and that at times that Michael kind of got locked in on him, and so they were forced. My ugly was the kicking game, punting and field goals. I was listening to Carl and Mike yesterday. I thought Carl had a great point. There have been a lot of block kicks this year, seemingly. And is it because and I thought it was a really good point because I didn't you don't think about it and then you start then you go back and I'm like, I mean, he's right. Like there have been a lot of block kicks. I'm not sure if it's the way guys are kicking because everything is more, feels like more distance. Although our block kick wasn't a trajectory, shouldn't have been one where he had it a little bit more line drive on it. Teams have figured out something. And there's something that's a special teams unit across the league has figured out about blocking kicks. We've got to be cleaner up there because that left side got busted through too. Also, I'm curious because I feel like Michael Pinion normally is a guy that maybe it was a game plan that where they really he'll get into one every once in a while, right?
Yeah.
And normally when you need it, he's very clutch. So I'm not sure if they had a plan that something they had saw on film that they didn't want to really outkick the coverage type of thing, but I need our field goal kicking to be a little bit cleaner. We've still got to get that where we feel confident in it, and I'm not sure we are there yet.
Yeah, I agree with that. I know Raheem Morris gave his thoughts on this. We don't have time to get to it right now, but I did think that I thought the kick was shanked either way. I don't, and granted, Matthew Bergeron gets absolutely blown up. I actually played that position on the field goal unit. It's not fun. Your job is just to get blown up. Like they're just like, dude, get run over, but make sure it's in 2.5 seconds, okay? Because that way the kick is off and it's gone. So he got ran over. He got trucked. Both those guys, the left tackle and tight end spots. And Raheem Morris did talk about it yesterday, and his answer was kind of interesting.
We'll get to that later in the show. I know we're talking about Monday's game, but Sunday is going to come up fast. So join me this Saturday, noon to 2, at Jim Shorkey Kia of Gainesville. We will be getting ready for Sunday's big game. One lucky fan will win the ultimate tailgate kit. It's a 50-inch 4K smart TV with rolling stand, other prizes. And another winner will take home tickets to an upcoming home game. Again, it's Saturday, noon to 2, at Jim Shorkey Kia of Gainesville. Coming up, how much will it cost you if you smack someone in the face in the NFL? We've got that answer when we go in the huddle next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.